You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dad was a very smart man. You couldn't have gotten me to say that when I was a child, but later on I came to realize that. Yet he never went to school past eighth grade. They were poor in those days, and after he finished elementary school, he had to go straight to work to help support the family. So that was all the formal education he had. He never set foot in a high school, much less a college. Yet he was a smart man. He was known not only in our family, but in our parish and in our community as what in scriptural language you would call a wisdom figure. And the reason was that Dad made it a point to never stop learning. He read books, he read articles, he thought about them, he discussed them. He was always, until he got to be in his 90s, when his mind eventually failed him, was always trying to get smarter and to get better insights into things. And I'm so grateful that he gave me that example, and that wisdom was part of our family. I remember one thing that happened when I was a child. In our parish, we had a large Catholic elementary school, and back in those days, we had about 20 or 25 nuns who taught in the school. And they all lived in this convent next to the school. And they didn't have newspaper, radio, or television. I think all they did at night was correct papers and pray. That was the impression I had. But anyway, they were very strict religious, and yet they wanted to be good citizens. And so every several years, when an election was coming up, the sister superior would call my dad and a couple of the other men of the parish who were known as wisdom figures and have them come in the evening and sit down with all the sisters to discuss the candidates and the issues. So my dad swung a whole block of votes over there. Probably would be illegal today if you owned up to it. But that was because he was known to be somebody who thought things through, who weighed everything, good and bad, as Jesus was teaching here, and came to conclusions and was able to share that with other people. And he did this with almost no formal education. Back in the times of the Bible, almost nobody had a formal education. They lived in what we would call an oral culture. The very few people who were literate taught and preached and educated people, and they got it through their ears, and that's the way they learned their wisdom. There is a part of the Bible in the Old Testament called the wisdom literature. Now, we didn't have any readings from that part this morning. We had something else. I'll get to that in a moment. But in the Bible, and they're all together in one space back in the Old Testament, there's a set of five or six books that's really about the best place you want to start when you go into the Old Testament. Reading the Old Testament can be a bit daunting. Let's just face it. It's obscure and almost difficult to understand in many respects. But if you go to the wisdom literature, you can't help but get it. Books like Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Sirach, The Wisdom of Solomon, and there's two or three others, I think, but they're all right together in one place. And they really aren't all that spiritual. You want to get down to it. Most of them are just plain common sense. little one and two line proverbs that could be said to people orally and they could memorize and repeat, and that was their guide for living. They're just so catchy. I should have written down a few of them. I always say that the wisdom literature is the Ann Landers part of the Old Testament. For those of you too young to know who Ann Landers was, your parents will tell you after a while. But it's just plain old common sense for the most part, telling people how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and spiritual too, and how to govern their lives. That's the way wisdom was handed on, and it worked very well for most of human history. It's only in fairly recent times, with compulsory schooling and everything else, that most people are able to read and write. Most of human history operated on an oral transmission of learning and culture. And so we're kind of unusual in that respect. Well, we did have a reading this morning about King Solomon. He was the son of King David, who was pretty famous in his own right. And Solomon became king, frankly, when he was too young to know what he was doing. He was still a little wet behind the ears, or whatever that old saying is. And so he knew it. And when he was in prayer, in his dream, God says, ask for something. And Solomon had the good sense not to ask for money and power and all the things that kings sort of lusted after, but he asked for wisdom and understanding. And God was so, surprised and pleased that God said, because you had asked for wisdom and not all these other things, I'm going to make you the wisest person of all time, and you're going to get all the rest of it too. And to this day, his name is associated with it, wisdom. When somebody smart comes along, we say that person has the wisdom of Solomon. And so there were a few of them here and there down through history, and certainly Jesus, our divine Savior, was a wisdom figure. As we've been hearing him in these recent Gospels this summer, one parable after another, doing exactly what people have done for thousands of years, teaching people by word of mouth. If you have ears to hear, you should hear, he said. And then he would preach to them one parable after another. We had at least three of them here in this Gospel this morning. That's the way teaching and communication happened. That's the way wisdom figures like Solomon, Jesus, and my dad passed along the best of our human tradition. So I think as we think of this, it's not a hard idea, but I think we should consider wisdom in our own time. We might think that we're so advanced and technological that it's not an issue. Believe me, it is. Psychology studies our brains and how we learn and how we get smart, and then how when you get to my age, you start forgetting stuff. But at least through most of our lives, we have a remarkable capacity to absorb a great deal. And we got to be careful that we control it and make it work in the best possible way. Wisdom does not happen automatically just because you go to school. In fact, sometimes that might even work against it. Wisdom is something we have to work at. Let's first say what wisdom is not before we say what it is. Wisdom is not clever sound bites. Wisdom is not little fancy things that you could pick up in a 30-second TV commercial and get any smarter by having heard it. Wisdom is not short and sweet. Wisdom is not facts and information. And there's a point I want to make especially hard, is sometimes we think because we have so much information that we have wisdom. It's not true. You can go home, put in any subject on your computer under Google or one of those search things, and in a matter of seconds, come up with thousands and thousands of scraps of information, facts, if they're true, and you can't always depend on that even, But that's not wisdom. And so we end up with a whole bunch of people running around in our world who are almost encyclopedias of facts, but they haven't one iota or scrap of wisdom in their whole system, because they never take time to sit back and process it. And as Jesus said, to sort out the new and the old, the good from the bad, and to make moral decisions. And so we've got a world full of people who are overloaded with facts and information, and who are underloaded with wisdom. So let's not confuse what you get on your computer with wisdom. It's not slogans and sound bites and fancy little things like that. It's much different. Well, if it's not those things, what in the world is wisdom? Well, it's kind of hard to get your head wrapped around it sometimes. One thing we know, it is deep thinking. It is not shallow and superficial. It is silent. It comes to us when we have time to step back and meditate and think. And I would suggest, as I often do, all these electronic things that are blaring at you constantly, have you noticed that most of them still have a button called OFF? Off. And we are in a culture of overstimulation where I'll give you an example. I had my car oil changed one day a week or so ago, and I just about lost my mind. I had to go outside because I went to the waiting room at the oil change place, and it was full of, first of all, people who hadn't taken a bath, which got on my nerves. But also they had this TV going with daytime television going full tilt, and I thought, I'm going to lose my mind in here. So you got to get away from that constant stimulation and have quiet. I even know some people who can't fall asleep without a TV running. There's something wrong with them, I think. We got to have quiet and not freak out because of quiet. And that might be a rare quality in this day and age. You get wiser with age and experience. And so you need to step back from time to time and think and pray and go on a retreat or whatever. Practice patience and humility, and read constantly, listen to other people, engage in deep conversation and discussion groups, and do all of those lovely things. I wish I could give you a magic formula, but I think everybody knows what they're supposed to do when it comes to wisdom. The church has always been good at this. That's why, with another school year approaching, you can't say too much about what we espouse in Catholic education, because I think we take our young people and try not only to convey facts and give them all the computers and the science and the math and everything else, we try to give them wisdom and understanding and a heart that really knows what is right and what is wrong. It doesn't happen automatically. It costs money and it takes a whole lot of effort. And we who are older parents, we need to be learners ourselves, as my dad was, and we need to make sure our homes are sanctuaries of wisdom, besides being just media centers for all the latest jibber-jabber that's going on in the world. Hard to do. If you really are a wisdom figure, you're going to stand out as weird and different from most of your neighbors. Guaranteed. Take the chance. It's so beautiful. It's so refreshing. It's so wonderful. I went on too long about this, but I wanted to get in a good commercial for wisdom, because it is so beautiful. It's such a treasure. It's that thing hidden in the field, that pearl of great price, that's right there for the taking if we will only apply ourselves to it. May God give us that blessing. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.